Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. Thank you all for being here. Today is Youth Sunday, so you'll see some young faces up here as they lead us in worship. I do have a few announcements this morning. You'll notice there's a box right here. We are collecting school supplies that will be given out during our Saturday lunch ministry, so we will continue to do that. So if you have any school supplies, feel free to drop them by this week, and we'll get them out as soon as we can. I'm going to fill in for the minute for CE. We'll talk a little bit about what the CE committee does. The CE committee is responsible for Wednesday night suppers, for day school, for Christian education, for Sunday school, for patent lectures, Bible studies, small groups, for rally day, vacation Bible school, and a lot of other things. If that sounds like something that you would like to do or be involved with, we've got a spot for you on that committee. We can sign you up. So if you'd like to, you can talk to Brenna Takata, you can talk to me, you can talk to Steve. Grab somebody and talk to them about it, and we will be happy to get you signed up and a part of the Christian Education Committee. I have good news. Jesus is alive and with us. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship. We are people who have been called to follow where God leads us.
Our faith in the
We are people who have been challenged to tell God's story to others. We are God's children who are invited to feast at the table of grace. Let us join together, hymn of praise, number 280.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. You have a vision of all people as your beloved children. God, but we see folks whose language, dress, and skin make them different. You have a vision of universe filled with goodness and beauty, and we damage it with violence, with poor choices. Have a vision of a table where we can feast on your grace and hope, but we line up at fast food counters of sin and greed. Forgive us, and we confess that we are not insiders. Immigrants who searched for true home. By faith, we believe gracious is compassionate and as hopeful as you are. You love us enough to want us to be with you forever. So may we take your hand in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Join me in the assurance of pardon. There is nothing to fear. God's hope is more tenacious than our despair. God's joy is more resilient than our grief. God's love is more compelling than our hate.
Okay, good morning, y'all. Good morning, thank you. So how many of y'all, for school, have gotten a box of markers, crayons, colored pencils? Yeah, you got colored pencils or something like that? Okay, so let's imagine if all of those pencils or markers were purple. That wouldn't be that much fun to color with, would it? If they were all one shade of purple. You have five different markers that are one shade of purple. You couldn't make that much with them. What? I mean, you could, you're right. And so every marker in a pack is different. And so just like every marker is different, God created everyone else different. So some people are really, really loud, and others are kind of more quiet. And some are good at music and art and drawing, and then others are really good at school stuff like math and science. But just like we use different markers to make our pictures, God uses different people to make his pictures. So in the Bible, in 1 Peter 4:10, it said, God has shown you his grace in giving you different gifts, and you are like servants who are responsible for using God's gifts. So be good servants and use your gifts to serve each other. So can y'all pray with me? Dear God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for the back-to-school season, and thank you that you created each of us differently. Amen. Hold up. Stay here. Stay here. Y'all aren't going anywhere.
All right. It is my pleasure to commission you today as you're back to school. And that's a long word, isn't it? What it means is we're sending you out, right? Outside, out into the world. We're sending you out. And we actually, as Christians, we do that every Sunday at church. When we get the benediction and we're leaving, we go as Christians because we're not just Christians here at the church, but wherever we go, whether we're at home, we're Christians. Whether we're out in the neighborhood playing with friends, we're Christians. And when we're at school, we're Christians too. So we're going to send you out as Christians to be Jesus' disciples at school. Can anybody tell me what a disciple is? Can you think of a word? What is a disciple? What do they do? You're already getting a test, right? A disciple, we think of them often as, what is it? That's right. Exactly. A follower of Jesus, right? So we follow as Christians in the ways of Jesus. We live with faith, hope, and love, especially love. One other thing that we don't often think about with disciples in the Bible, it means student. Disciple means student in the Bible. That's why the disciples called Jesus teacher. So you're at school, you're being students learning math and reading and writing and geography and all kinds of great stuff. As Christians, it's important that we learn. and also that we continue to learn about Jesus and be his disciples by learning about him as well. Because when we do, then the faith, hope, and love that we learn from him, especially love, other people see it, and other people want to know what that love is about. So my commissioning to you is to go with faith, hope, and love following Jesus. Let me pray for y'all. Jesus, we thank you that you're with us all the time, and especially at school. Help us to be your followers, and help us to love those around us. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks, y'all.
Every year during Youth Sunday, we get to recognize our graduates. We get to recognize the kids that are heading out into the world, and we hope that we have given them everything that they need to succeed, but we also hope that they will come back and see us and visit us and return home even better than when they left. And I have full confidence in our graduate this year. So I'd like to ask Emma Jones to come on up. She was not happy about having to be called up, so please, everyone, be loving and kind. Emma's graduated from Chatham Hall as an honor graduate. She's the daughter of Mike and Laura Jones and the granddaughter of Lee Norman, and she plans on attending Randolph-Macon College in 2 weeks? In 2 weeks, yeah, everything starts in 2 weeks. Every year, you know, we bring the kids up, and I wish that they were awful. I wish they were just the worst ever, because it would make this so much easier, but they never are. They're always just wonderful, and Emma is just that. The very first time I met Emma, she was a year and a half old, 2 years old. She was a little toddler, and she was just full of spunk and life, and I thought, oh man, Mike and Laura have got their hands full. And she has continued with that same spunk and beautiful life. Emma is one who does not back down from her convictions, but is also always willing to talk and listen and dialogue with others when they don't agree. And that will serve you very well in your future. And that's one of the traits that I admire the most about her. Emma, I know that there are many ways that we can and have and do serve God, and I pray that you will find a community of believers at Randolph-Macon where you can grow and flourish as a Christian. I have a gift for you. I'm going to come down here and give you a big hug, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to do this without crying, all right? All right, we're going to join together in a prayer on the back of this graduate information form. Let's pray together. Dear God, we ask that you help our young people to walk in your wisdom and grace. We pray for spiritual eyes and discernment in all things. Help them to be wise leaders and influencers in this generation, not conformed to the world, but transformed by your power. We ask that you would equip Emma with all that she needs to make a difference for your purposes. Help our young people to live as a salt and light in this dark world that so desperately needs to know your truth. And we ask for your power to help them walk continually in honesty and integrity, to build within them deep godliness, that they would be more concerned about their character than their reputation. We pray that they would seek to bring honor to you throughout their lives, that they would have a vision and a heart for your world, extend their boundaries, and give them incredible influence with people and nations. Make their hearts and spirits open to every plan and purpose that you have for them, and to be willing to boldly go wherever you call them. We pray this for Emma and for our young people this morning. In your son's name, amen.
Today's gospel lesson is Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by making us like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking in your own interest, but each look at your other's interest too. If your relationship with one another have the same mindset as Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used of his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in his appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted himself to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That his name is Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Our third passage this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When our world gets shaken, we should stop and take a hard look at ourselves. We should look at our community of believers in Christ, and we should take inventory. And the events of the past weeks have been terrible in Texas and in Ohio. For our young people and our graduate today, as they prepare to head out into the world, you realize more and more every day that this world is a mess. That it's just a mess. And that this world is the result of each human being figuratively and literally shaking their fist at God and at each other, saying, I know what's best, I know what is good and evil, and I know better than you do, and I'm going to do what I want to do. It's the result of each of us wanting what we want and not giving consideration as to how it affects anyone beside us. It's the result of us putting little to no value on other people. This fallen and broken world is the result of humanity's selfishness and humanity's pride. And that selfishness and that pride, it permeates into every part of our culture, including at times the church. After my dad had retired, he was asked to serve as the administrator treasurer for the church I grew up in. And I can remember us sitting at the dinner table one night and my mom asking him, how are things at the office? And he said, you know, church would be all right if it weren't for all those people. And we laugh, but we shouldn't. When the church falters or misses the calling, we should learn from it and grow and use our mistakes to find ways to better love and serve our Lord. But it's important to remember that we also shouldn't expect the church to be perfect. The church is not a place for perfect people. It's a place for the broken. And we're all broken. The church is for us to join around the perfect love that God has for us through the saving grace of our Lord, his son Jesus. But it's not a place for us to let pride and selfishness take center stage. Luke gives us something to genuinely consider when he records Jesus' words in chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. And Jesus challenges us by having us look at what we treasure. What is valuable to you? He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our treasure should not be for things. We're called to seek a treasure that no thief can take and that no moth can destroy. All of this, everything you see, even me, will fall into ruin one day. None of this is permanent. The only thing that is permanent is that which we do in service to our Lord, our loving the Lord our God and loving others. No room for selfishness and pride. The treasure that we seek is tied up in those two great commandments. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And as Luke picks up in 12:35, we should be dressed in this love of God and be ready to serve, keeping our lamps burning until the Master returns. That means we should be constantly loving God and loving others so that the world sees hope in a greater life to come, a life given by love and lived in love through our Lord Jesus. The sermon title is Bert and Hal Are Right. And I know, that's a kind of a weird title. That's a weird, weird title. But it's referring to Burt Bacharach and Hal David, who wrote the song, What the World Needs Now Is Love. You know, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Now you know why I'm not in the choir. What the world needs now is love. And they're right. This world needs more love, but it has to be the right kind of love.
Love is a word in our culture that we have let language distort. I mean, think about the ways that we use the word love. We love our family. We love our new shoes. And we love Chick-fil-A. I mean, they got a great sandwich. And while saying that we love our family may be appropriate, we have extended our use of the word love so that the meaning becomes insignificant. We've changed the definition of love. Love has turned into, if you make me happy, I love you. So when we hear a verse like John chapter 3, verse 16 that says, God so loved the world, we brush it aside. We don't grasp the gravity of what John is saying in the beginning of his gospel. We think that God feels the same way about us that we feel about Chick-fil-A. And we miss the point. We don't understand that God is love. But there's a Hebrew word for love, ahava. And it points to a deeper understanding of love. This ahava love is a love that binds. It's a love that cannot be broken. It's a love that understands that situations will arise and there will be difficult times in life, but this love cannot be broken. Ahava has an understanding of giving. Love is something that should be given out in all that we do, to all that we meet. Ahava is that love that says, I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere. And this is the love that God has for us and calls us to take ownership of. Where can we look to understand how to live out this kind of love? In God's giving and sending of his son, Jesus. God gave his only son to earth as an example for us to show us how to live out this love. Jesus is described as Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Jesus' life and ministry was marked by time spent giving and serving and loving those who needed it most. Among the poor, the downtrodden, the sinners, people who were deemed unclean. Jesus loves the people that no one wants to love, not just the people that are easy to love and that make him happy. In Philippians chapter 2, there's something called the Christ hymn that describes this dichotomy between the great power that Jesus had compared to his humility and commitment to service of love, which is example for us. It says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And why did Jesus do that? Because of the love that he had for others and for us. He could have said, I'm God, I'm Savior of the world. You should be serving me, not the other way around. But that's what maybe you and I would say or do. That's not what Jesus did. Instead, we see through Scripture the care and the compassion and love that God has for the broken, the oppressed, the downtrodden, the needy, and the outcast, which I think sums up all of us, really. In 1 Samuel 2:8, we see that God lifts the poor from the dust and treats them as princes sitting in seats of honor. In Proverbs 19:17, we learn that when we help the poor, we're lending to the Lord. Deuteronomy 15:10 tells us, give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. And Psalm 82 challenges us to give justice to the poor and orphan and to uphold the rights of the oppressed and destitute. And most clearly in James 1:27, we are informed that the pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows, caring for the helpless and the hopeless in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. And most importantly, Jesus' life and actions were a testament to this truth every day in the way he invited outsiders in, cared for those, loved those who needed it most, and lived as a dispenser of grace. His life was a dispenser of grace. So Jesus, this is this perfect example of love. Jesus shows us that when we love people, or in order to love people, we give, we serve, we take action. It's not enough to just look like you love God. Jesus said we would know to the extent of our love for God by how well we loved people. Being a believer isn't enough. Jesus wants us to participate in this love by sharing it with others. But not because you have to. Our service comes out of the overflow of love that we receive from God. The very same love that says, I am with you. The love that says, I'm not going anywhere. The love that has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. That love calls us to serve the least of these. We give that love to all we meet. Or at least we should. We are loved by God. We are filled with God's love. And that love overflows to others through our interaction with others. Our third passage today, our passage from Acts, was titled in the bulletin as Action Passage. And we did this on purpose because that really is the action that we need. We need that shift from self to selfless, that shift from me to God. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, or to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They bound themselves in selfless love to God and to each other. You want to see transformation? You want to see this world changed by God? Live it out. Live out that calling here in this body of believers, here in this community of Jesus followers, and here in this dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Live out that community of love through Jesus, and you'll see the world change. We'll all see the world. Separation turn into union when we, the church, live in that community of love that God has called us to live in and through the saving grace of his son, Jesus. Yes, we are broken. Yes, we are fallen. And yes, we have failed God. But God's unbelievable love never fails us, and we are called to live in that love, giving it away to everyone we encounter, no matter who they are. And we trust that the Holy Spirit will work in them and through them so that when they see the love of God from us, it might transform them, and then they will share that same love to others that they encounter. What the world needs now is love, but the right kind of love, a love that is never self-seeking, a love that is forgiving, the love that we can experience from God. And while we, the church, are broken and imperfect and fail in many ways and at many times, God's love can work in us and through us to change and transform this world, but only when we let go of our selfish wants and pride and start giving and serving others through the abundance of Jesus' selfless love. To God be all glory and honor and power forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand together and join in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, affirming what we live and what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again and sitteth on the right hand. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's join together in hymn of response 333, Seek Ye First. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with many joys and concerns. We give thanks for the joys, but we ask that you would give us peace and comfort in the concerns. You tell us to cast all our cares on you because you care for us, and time again, we are reminded of how much you do care about us. But the troubles of this world are very real to us and for us. Help us to give those concerns to you and give us peace in the knowledge that you will give us healing and wisdom and comfort and peace in all situations. And Father, we pray the prayer that your Son taught his disciples, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. together in prayer. Heavenly Father, everything is yours. And Father, we ask that you would take what we have given back to you, that you would multiply it, that you would use it, so that the world may see you and know your Son and the love that you have for us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Let's join together in our final hymn and insert Give Thanks. This world sharing Christ's love, love that is not defined by this world, but a love that can redefine this world. Amen.